The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Matthew Stafford never had a playoff win until this campaign. Now can he go win the Super Bowl? Stafford throws the fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp's got it! Matthew Stafford's done it again.
They need to gain one to keep their hopes alive in Super Bowl 56.
Burrow to throw for it. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there. The greatest of all time on defense does it in the biggest moment of Super Bowl 56. A Lombardi Trophy for Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel. We'll hear more from you, right? But Marcus, what did you see on that final drive?
Matt Stafford delivering.
Say that again?
And brother, Matt Stafford delivering. I was going to come in here and make you mad because he did throw two interceptions. But we're going to forget about
that. They won the Super Bowl. Yeah, let's focus on
that. But here's the deal. That is why Sean McVay brought Matthew. That last drive to get a touchdown was the reason why Sean McVay traded Jared Goff to get Matthew Stafford, because I needed a guy to overcome when I'm not on my game. Mm. And let me tell all of America, Sean McVay was not on this game in this Super Bowl. But Matthew Stafford delivered. Matthew Stafford experience showed up. His arm strength showed up, ball placement showed up. But more importantly, you had 10 other guys in the huddle that said, this guy can lead us to a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? And so everybody level increases. Everybody job heightens because, yes, if we do our job, our quarterback will get us there. And y'all know I sat on this show a long time, a year ago, 2 years ago, and I said, man, I do not trust Jared Goff. He a liar. I trusted Matthew Stafford in that situation. Even after two interceptions, I still felt confident that he would make enough plays in order to give his team a chance to win the game.
I think two things stood out for me throughout the game that allowed that drive to happen. I thought he was phenomenal with his feet, specifically early against Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator for Cincinnati's. The Bengals, the sets that he gave him, and then really good job using his eyes. Like, look at him just climb the pocket on second 11. Don't force the football. Go get 7 yards in a scramble. Dude, this is the getting to number five in the progression to Cooper Kupp on third and four. Just watch his feet. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Look how quickly he's getting through that. I'm telling you, this is a different guy than when I played with him 6, 7 years ago. His feet, the reset, and then his eyes. Watch this angle. Hold, 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 and then come back all the way, holding that safety, Jesse Bates, to find Cooper Kupp. And I think the thing is, when you do that, when Matthew does that, he listens to his feet, and then he uses his eyes, great. Then he plays really smart. Mm. You know, I know he threw the two interceptions, but I would push back and say there was not a single throw that was careless, that was reckless.
The first was like an arm pump.
Right, he's trying to
go make the 50 ball.
Right, that was really impressive to watch, and he doesn't get the opportunity in the game to go on that game-winning drive if he doesn't do those two things throughout the majority of it.
What struck me about the game-winning drive in particular is something that Marcus said, which was McVay did not have a very good game. Mm. And that drive in particular, it wasn't Sean McVay, you know, using the joystick, manipulating the quarterback, getting those wide-open play-action throws we're so used to. It was talent.
Yes.
It was the quarterback making special throws and then a special wide receiver getting open. And the play calling really didn't have that much of a big deal to do with any of it. The 22-yard throw to Cooper Kupp. I just cannot stop watching this throw. You know, for a long time with Matthew Stafford, he would make throws similar to this in Detroit, these kind of no-look trick passes. And what would happen was the videos would come out and Lions fans would say, well, if this was Patrick Mahomes, it would be on SportsCenter. Well, the problem was they were in meaningless games.
Yeah, they were 1-20.
In the most meaningful game, at the most meaningful point, at the pivotal moment in Matthew Stafford's career, he delivered.
Yeah.
He looked off the safety, held him there, looked at Hopkins, and then he threw one of the most beautiful passes I've ever seen in my life. I honestly cannot get over how beautiful
that was. You know what was super impressive about him, even with the two interceptions, and I actually retweeted. I was like, I'm not that mad at the first interception. You could tell that Matthew Stafford came into this game saying, I'm going to be measured, I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to let things come to me. Like, and he could have gotten lost in the Super Bowl thing.
And on that drive in particular, where the Bengals DBs were playing off, patiently working his way down the field.
You know, how much, though, of the trust in Cooper Kupp allows him to be patient at times take those risks when he needs to?
Well, reps and reps and reps of all the offseason together and believing you're going to be where you're supposed to be. And I also think this, and we mentioned this a little bit throughout the season, Matthew had to transition a little bit from, I'm in Detroit, we stink, I've got to play hero ball and try to make the crazy throws, to, I'm on the Rams, I got a great team around me, I don't have to force the issue. And then we saw in the last month, when they needed him to play big time ball, he was able to do it. But I think it was that transition from him to believing, I don't have to make all these crazy throws all the time.
You know, the other thing, too, that has been prevalent in his career is that Matthew Stafford doesn't play well in the biggest game. So I think he shattered that in a big
significantly
way.
Too.
Here's
Boogie.
A little bit more on it. Yeah, let's go to this. He led the NFL with an 89.5 QBR in the fourth quarter of 1-4 games this season. That's insane. Joined 2007 Eli Manning as the only quarterbacks to lead three game-winning drives in a single postseason. So the Super Bowl win caps off an incredible postseason run for Stafford. That may not even be the best way to say it, right? You can't come up with enough adjectives to describe what he's done. How does this change the narrative, Dan, for Stafford's career?
Well, I think he's a lock Hall of Famer. He's a lock Hall of Famer, and he's a Super Bowl champion. And I think he's been called a lot of things by a lot of people. You have to call him a Super Bowl champion, and you have to call him a Hall of Famer now. And I would put into context of this four-game run, I would say it's one of the, if not the most clutch, stretch performances we've ever seen from a quarterback. You just mentioned it, three straight game-winning drives led by the quarterback that hasn't been done. I mean, when they needed him to make the biggest plays on the biggest stages, he did it week after week after week. And I think that to get in the Hall of Fame, and Michael Irvin said this morning, you got to have great stats and you got to have moments. He's going to be top seven in everything when he gets done. And now he's got one of the greatest performance postseason performance stretches we've ever seen.
I think, too, man, what I was going to talk about is even being measured in that game. Like, we ain't seen Darrell Henderson all season.
Yeah.
And Matt was like, oh, you got the matchup?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah. Van Jefferson, same thing. When they lost OBJ, you could see this offense kind of go flat. And it was Matt Stafford in that final drive saying, I am the best guy on the field with the ball in my hand.
Yesterday he did all that without Odell Beckham Jr., Robert Woods, and Tyler Higbee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and also it's an interesting contrast to what happened in Green Bay where, you know, Aaron Rodgers was so locked in on Devontae Adams, he didn't really target any other wide receivers, missed some open guys. Stafford didn't miss those open targets.
You mentioned OBJ. It's a moment that really makes you sick from yesterday's game when Odell Beckham Jr. goes down with a non-contact knee injury, and it was that same knee where he tore his ACL back in 2020. So, Mina, what do you make of that news?
Well, it's absolutely brutal. I mean, I'm thrilled for OBJ to get a Super Bowl ring, but obviously headed into free agency, if he was completely healthy, you'd have to think coming off of his postseason, which he was so remarkable, he would be set up for a big payday. And he's solid in this game. I mean, my goodness, when he went out of this offense, just the contrast between, you know, the routes that receivers like Van Jefferson were asked to run in his place, a lot of the same concepts, the discrepancy in separation.
Yes.
So it really magnified how good Odell Beckham Jr. is. So at this point, just hoping he gets healthy so we can continue to see him play at this level.
Second ACL tear in 16 months. That is just the reality. And honestly, I'm super bummed about it because I was so excited to kind of understand, man, Odell changed his narrative. He is back to being one of the elite receivers in the NFL. I agree he was going to get a big payday. I actually think he was going to be the most sought-after offensive free agent in football, considering I think Devontae Adams from Green Bay will get tagged. It's awful. I think someone's still going to take the chance on him and roll the dice on him. It's just certainly not going to be the financial commitment that he would have got if not for the ACL.
Yeah, man, it's personal to me because I know for a long time OBJ held his tongue on a lot of things that was going on in New York and in Cleveland. And obviously he had the situation with his father, but this the message that he was always give, dude, I still can play.
Yeah.
Like, I can still play at a very high level.
Yep.
And obviously with this run with the Rams, everybody was reminded of that hadn't been close to OBJ or really understood what was transpiring. So it's just super unfortunate. Not the contract. He'll get some money from somewhere.
Right.
What's unfortunate is Odell Beckham Jr. felt as good as he's felt in years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue and why it's so disheartening.
You saw how much it meant to him, the tears streaming down his face as they had won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
to
champ,
your point,
though.
At least he gets the ring, right? We got so much more coming your way on NFL Live the day after the Super Bowl. Aaron Donald finally earned that Super Bowl ring.
Yes!
His career deserves. We'll relive that performance. And Marcus will tell you what made him different in those final moments. And later on, the Rams offense looked totally different without OBJ in the lineup. Find out why Mina thinks without OBJ on the field, the Rams need a number two receiver. Who could that be? NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel, brings you closer to what you love.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
UFC Fight Night Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas. Johnny Walker takes on Jamal Hill in the light heavyweight main event. The prelims start at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Here's Sean McVay on Donald.
And I promise you guys, you know, I was mic'd up so you guys can hear. When it was the fourth down and you could see they got into the shotgun and they were probably not going to run the football, I said Aaron's going to close the game out right here. And he is the effing man.
He wanted to say so much more than that. We don't blame him. We were saying it all to ourselves. We were watching what Aaron Donald did. But, Marcus, put into words, now that you've had a little bit more time to think about it, what we witnessed from Aaron Donald last night.
Yeah, I think we take him for granted, honestly, all season long. I think we have. And when you think about, like, T.J. Watt deserved Defensive Player of the Year, and Micah Parsons was the story being a rookie. It's unbelievable to me. And I was thinking about this. First of all, we talked about it last week. Aaron Donald was fourth or fifth in the MVP odds to be the MVP of this game.
Yeah.
And you got a legit argument that he could have been. But more than that, there was a time in this game where I saw a triple team where you're going to leave Von Miller by himself. You're going to leave Leonard Floyd by himself because we got to take care of this guy. And then exactly what Sean McVay said, and you know, I've been saying this. When Von Miller came over, these guys were brought here to close games.
Yeah.
These are the games that these guys.
Yesterday, here come the closers.
Closers, man, because I played with one of the best pass rushers I think that's ever played in the NFL, and that's DeMarcus Ware. And those guys understand it in that moment better than anybody. Aaron Donald knew exactly what was about to happen on that fourth down play. Like, I guarantee you, if you could have went in his brain, he knew I'm going to. And it was the same move he uses all year.
Yeah.
It's a jump, knock down, get the edge, and finish to the quarterback. And I promise you, they practiced that all week long. This is his move. This is his go-to when you need to make a play. Go look at the Jimmy Garoppolo sack. Same move. Go look at the Tom Brady sack fumble. Same move. We got to stop taking him for granted. He may be the best defensive player we've ever seen play in this league.
Wow.
And I know that's saying a lot, but he may be.
Mm. Completely fair. He absolutely belongs in that conversation with LT and Reggie White. You know the basketball term gravity? You use it to talk about Steph Curry.
Yeah.
How he pulls defenders away because of the spacing on the court. I might be the first person to ever compare Aaron Donald and Steph Curry.
I like it,
but when I watch him, he's a black hole.
Yeah.
He pulls and he pulls and he pulls. Honestly, on every passing down, regardless of whether he's being double-teamed or triple-teamed, he creates so many one-on-one 100%. Pass rush opportunities, not just for the other defensive linemen, but for the linebackers as well. He impacts the game at a level that is not reflected in the box score. It is simply remarkable what he means to this team. And when we look back on what he's accomplished, I hope we recognize the greatness. I hope we recognize, in the same way that we talked about Tom Brady, frankly, last week. Wow, it feels like forever ago. We need to talk about Aaron Donald that way.
I hope he doesn't retire, but let's do a special on Aaron Donald if he decides to retire.
As a Seahawks fan, I would be heartbroken if he retired.
Yeah, I know.
Go out on top, Aaron. This is the perfect time.
So, but Dan, as much as we talk about Aaron Donald, it was the entire defense in a lot of ways that impressed you, because let's not forget how good Joe Burrow has been this season, how good he's been in the postseason. What do they do that stuck out?
Well, I think it started with Raheem Morris, their defensive coordinator. It wasn't like he just said, hey, four guys, just go rush. It was very tactical, and it was very much so, we're going to go after the right side of the Cincinnati Bengal offensive line. So we talked about this overload, right? Those three guys are to the left side of the center. Now that leaves Von Miller one-on-one with the tackle, and Von's really just going to almost collapse that right side of the tackle. They're going to go down, down up top and loop around. Now watch what Von does to that right tackle. All right, play's dead. It's over. I mean, the tackle is in Joe Burrow's lap. Here comes the wrap. That's third and six, but they attack that right tackle very specifically with an overload opposite him. Now they're just going to go with that four-man rush, but Aaron Donald's down to the bottom of the screen. Marcus talked about it. Mina just said gravity. Center, left guard, left tackle, we got to go. Three on two versus him. That leaves that right side two on two. This is going to be called an ET stunt. End goes first, tackle goes second. Tackle, you go vertical. Now look at Vaughn, patient. And you see how he like slaps him around, almost like a tailback following a guard. He's unblocked because the right side of the offensive line struggles. This is my favorite one, though. Look how wide they are, Marcus.
Yeah.
That guy up top is outside the hash. Dude, Leonard Floyd's at the top of the numbers at the bottom of the screen.
Man.
That creates all those five one-on-ones, but everybody on the offensive line is spread out right now. Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, you guys beat the right guard and the right tackle with speed and power. And then again, on third down, we've shrunk the pocket on Joe Burrow. And I just thought it was very creative by Raheem Morris to be like, hey, we're not just going to line up and just go straight. We're going to do different ways to attack the right side of the offensive line to allow everybody on that defensive line to have success.
MK, what up?
No, I was just going to say, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of our frustration with the lack of adjustments from Sean McVay until the game-winning drive. I thought Raheem Morris did a fantastic job of making some adjustments, because in the first half, they weren't really getting that much pressure. They started adding that fifth man, some of the pressure looks. Some of the stuff we saw in the Arizona game, where sometimes they would blitz, sometimes they would drop out, exactly, and it worked to great effect.
And Jones played 50 plays and Reader played 21. This is another thing that I don't want to go miss. A'shaun Robinson and Greg Gaines changed this defense.
Yeah.
And A'shaun Robinson in particular because of his prowess in the run game. Look, I was enamored. We know Aaron Donald's on the field. I was enamored with the way A'shaun Robinson played the run on critical rundown situations, and it was man to man. It was shock, shed, release, and make tackles. I don't know if people understand how difficult that is to do in the NFL when you got backs coming downhill for you to be able to make all of those transitions and make a tackle. He put the Rams in positions to rush the passer.
Yeah.
Him and Greg
Gaines. Shock, shed, release,
and hit the ball carrier.
There we go. Boom. All right, on that note, we got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live
as
we continue to talk about the Super Bowl 56 champs. On the other side, the Bengals so close to winning the Super Bowl, but we'll tell you exactly why they came up short and how it can be fixed going forward, why it needs to be fixed, too. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Don't miss this week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader, starting with the Nets and Knicks, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's our West Coast primetime game with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz taking on LeBron and the Lakers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app.
Rams green. They rush forward. Throw the throw forward. He's sit. He's sacked. He throws it away. He flings it away on fourth down. Aaron Donald got there. He signals to his ring finger on his left hand.
That's what I worked for. That's what we worked for. It came out of one play. We had to make one big stop. And the world champs.
The greatest of all time does it in the biggest moment of Super Bowl 56.
And he is the effing man.
You can drop the mic on that one. Joe Burrow took 7 sacks Sunday, tied for the most in Super Bowl history. 6 of those sacks came in the second half. That's when the Rams' pass rush was unrelenting. Burrow was pressured on 12 of his 22 dropbacks in the second half. That 55% pressure rate, the fourth highest in the second half of a Super Bowl in the game's history. Talked about some of those adjustments from Raheem Morris and how they mattered. Let's talk about the Bengals a little bit, Marcus. How should we feel about Joe Burrow's performance yesterday?
Great. He outplayed Stafford for the majority of that game.
Yeah.
Especially with the duress that he was under. And then, too, man, like, I can't talk about Joe Burrow without thinking that Joe Burrow's career going to be cut short. Mm. Like, I didn't come on the show playing in the day. But, see, this dude gets bent up every Sunday,
yeah,
bro.
Like,
I mean, at some point, and I know Ja'Marr Chase came in and we had the whole, should they take an offensive? One offensive lineman wasn't going to fix that.
Right.
Right? And thank goodness for Chase. The ability to just throw the rock up there and he wins 50-50 balls. But when you look at, when you see Joe Burrow play football, there is no way that the Cincinnati Bengals should have been in this game. And it's because of that kid. And I don't know how long he's going to last in the NFL if they don't get this fixed in Cincinnati. But if they get it fixed, you got a guy you can be in contention with every single year. I thought he did a phenomenal job. And look, not to throw shade on anybody, that ball to Tyler Boyd was perfect.
Yeah.
That was a critical play.
His first drop since 2020.
I know. I'm not trying to throw shade at Tyler Boyd, but that right there, that's again, Joe Burrow, if look at when he threw the ball, he literally stepping back because of the pressure.
Right.
And that's a dime, y'all.
Yeah.
So you got your guy, Cincinnati. You gotta take care of him, man. He's not going to make it. He's not going to make it under this type of duress.
He wasn't perfect, Burrow, but I feel the same way that I kind of did about the Super Bowl last year, watching Patrick Mahomes behind the injured Chiefs offensive line, where the discrepancy between the pass rush and the protection was so dramatic, I don't even know how to evaluate the quarterback play. I do think there are some things that Zach Taylor could have done to alleviate the pressure a little bit. Dan spent the entire week talking about Cincinnati's screen game, and it didn't show up, and I was a little befuddled by that. But, you know, we're talking about a major, major talent discrepancy, and now the conversation shifts to the future, and we begin to ask, okay, we know the problem.
Yes.
You could never watch football. You could watch this game. You know the problem with this team. So how do you solve it? Who are the free agents you target? You got a lot of cap space. Who do you look at in the draft?
I think they could have gone with that extra offensive lineman a little bit more yesterday. Took a couple more shots, max protection. But I do believe if you're the Bengals and you walk away from this season, this playoff run, and yesterday, you think three things. We absolutely have a superstar quarterback. He's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
Okay, not a lot of teams can say that, obviously. I think the second thing you walk away is we got a pretty darn good staff. Lou Anarumo and their defensive
phenomenal.
Job was great yesterday. Brian Callahan grew as a play caller and offensive coordinator this year. Zach Taylor, I know, has had some moments where does he run the ball too much, but managing that offensive line did a pretty darn good job. And I think overall you walk away going, we got a pretty darn good football team. And they got a good football team that, you know, if they take some of that cap space and not only invest it in the offensive line, you've got to invest it into the right offensive line pieces.
Right.
They need to get 3. If they get 3 offensive line pieces, they could be very much so back where they are right now.
Oh, this was his first playoff.
Yeah, right. It's pretty impressive. You got to think that O-line, as much as we talk about it, it has to be a priority for them. It'll be interesting to see who they
grab. Got to be right.
Let's get some quick reads off last night's game. Mina, we start with you. OBJ left with that knee injury. Just how much did that impact the Rams during the game?
I mean, they were rolling with him in it. I thought it might be a blowout, quite frankly. One stat that I think really captures the impact of his loss. When OBJ was in the game, Matthew Stafford's tight window throw rate was 8%, meaning his throws to receivers with a 1 yard of separation less. Afterwards, 28%. Oh. Guys just were not getting separate once OBJ went out. The margin for error shrunk. Luckily, they pulled out the win.
Marcus, to that end, the Bengals defense kept them in the game. How'd they do it?
Phenomenal. I thought Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, but more importantly, Logan Wilson in the middle of this defense was all over the place. They deserve a ton of credit. Listen, this was 16 points all the way until Matthew Stafford put full Superman cape on and Cooper Kupp just made plays down the stretch. They didn't give up any huge runs. They were coming down and defending well and tackling. OBJ was their only issue.
Dan, what was your favorite moment of the day?
Yeah, I would say after the game, when Matthew was down on the field with his family, certainly his little girls. I mean, just imagine the journey, 13 years in. Yeah. Candidly, this was a guy that years ago didn't really want a family. And now he's got four beautiful daughters. And to share that moment, again, the journey with his family and to be on the field afterwards, in a time where his girls will probably remember a little bit of it within 15 minutes of game ending, to be able to do that, that was pretty cool to watch.
So rare to have the opportunity to even compete in a Super Bowl, much less win it, and to do it, to your point, while your kids could maybe still remember what it means to your family. So much fun. Mm-hmm. All right, we got a lot more coming your way still on NFL Live. Dan's going to hit the touchscreen and talk about Cooper Kupp's dominance against the Bengals defense. Show us why
he's
the Super Bowl MVP. He's really good.
I was like, I know we ain't getting through this without a touch.
How about this, guys? Did y'all see this of Matthew Stafford in the locker room? Marcus, what do you think about the
cigar?
Turn
up, Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, when anything starts with ladies and gentlemen, it's good after that. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Stafford, he got Super Bowl champion.
He got a daddy soda in the left hand and a cigar.
Daddy soda, that's a new one.
The grass was greener.
Okay.
The grass was greener. I'm the
numero uno. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by Microsoft and Intel. Hey, Cooper Kupp capped off his historic season by winning Super Bowl MVP last night. The stats are one thing, but how about the fact everyone knows Kupp's going to be targeted time after time and you still can't stop him? He's unbelievable. Cooper Kupp put together arguably the greatest single season by a wide receiver in the history of the NFL. During the regular season, he won the receiving triple crown after leading the league in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. He was named Offensive Player of the Year for those efforts. Then last night, Kupp named Super Bowl MVP. Jerry Rice is the only wide receiver in NFL history to do all of those things in his whole career. Kupp did that in a single season.
It's really a testament to both of them, but Cooper Kupp, I think, has got some of the best footwork route running-wise in the NFL.
That 22-yard no-look pass actually gives me chills
every time
I see it. Mm-hmm. Mina, in that critical final drive, how did McVay start to use Kupp a little bit differently than he did the rest of the game?
Well, he basically said, Cooper Kupp, no matter what, going into this one. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to line him up everywhere. I think actually all four of his catches, he was lined up at a different spots.
Yeah.
We're going to get the ball in his hands on fourth and one. We're going to use tempo to get the matchups we want with him against that zone defense. And then here's another thing. We're going to target him on early downs. On that drive, they hit him on second, first. There was the passing interference, and then the touchdown was in second. Contrast that with early in the game after OBJ got hurt and McVay was driving me absolutely up the wall by pounding the rock on those early downs, switched it up for the most important drive, went to Kupp, the best player on that football team, and it paid off.
Yeah, trust. And Cooper Kupp in that last drive probably said, I'm just better than everybody that's going to be guarding me. Yeah. And let's go score a touchdown.
Right.
Because this became about playmakers. This had nothing to do with scheme and concept, and I get it. Line him up off the ball. Cooper Kupp ain't catch a damn ball the whole game. In that critical moment, he knew. Like, it's me. It's me and it's Matthew Stafford that's going to either win or lose the Super Bowl for the Los Angeles Rams. What was so impressive about it, though, is that everybody in the world knew he was getting it.
That's what like, kills me.
Everyone. Yeah. And the fact that you talk about the throw, but you also talk like Coop sitting down in the zone, yeah. finding that little inch of light where Matt can put the ball. So, the ability to carry it after having the ball in his hands as well.
When the trade happened a little bit more than a year ago, I remember texting with Matthew, and he had been there for about a month or 6 weeks. And he had said to me, Cooper Kupp is the best route runner I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's the guy who played with Calvin Johnson. Yeah. You know, like different guys, but he's that kind of route runner when it comes to his body language telling the quarterback what he's going to do.
And that was even before they got into the season, the trust only built. Yeah. We saw that on display last night as Stafford went 4-for-4 targeting Kupp on a game-winning drive. Very strong, stronger than you think. Coming up, retirements, free agency. Should we expect to see the core of this Rams team back on the field together next season? We've got the answers to that next and why it could play better for L.A. than you think. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel. Brings you closer to what you love.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Rams are Super Bowl 56 champions after defeating the Bengals 23-20 Sunday night. Let's take a look back at the journey that got them here. They traded Jared Goff and multiple first-round picks for Matthew Stafford in the offseason. Stafford left Detroit as the team's all-time leader in every passing category. Then, in season, they made two savvy moves, trading two picks to acquire Von Miller from Denver, then signing Odell Beckham Jr. following his release from Cleveland. And their all-in approach paid off as the Rams captured their second Super Bowl win in franchise history. Stafford getting it done in his 13th NFL season. Time now for a field report brought to you by Windows 11 and Intel. And who better for a field report than Field Yates? Field, we just saw a little of how this Rams team was built, but it goes beyond that, right? How exactly did the LA go all-in approach this season work for them?
Yeah, Laura, love when a plan comes together, not just like the Rams team building, but also a segment name. And you mentioned several of those big name trades and additions that the Rams made. You can add Sony Michel, who was acquired via a trade at the end of training camp, as well to this Rams roster. And every NFL team has the right to spend as much of the salary cap as they'd like. Whatever they have left over, they can push into future years. So while the Jacksonville Jaguars are pushing about $30-plus million over the 2022, the Rams pushed over about $100,000. Every dollar they had available to spend this year, they went all in on, certainly Matthew Stafford being the most significant price that they paid this past offseason to get them there. And here's the good news if you're a Rams fan. You're a Super Bowl champion. If you are a Rams fan who's also a draft guru, get ready for a boring couple of months ahead, Laura, because if you look at their original selections of the 2022 NFL draft, they have no first-round pick of their own. No second-round pick. Their own third-round pick, as you mentioned, traded away as well. They do have their own fourth-round pick, which is good. Fifth also traded. Sixth and seventh they do retain. They're going to have some compensatory picks from all their losses this past offseason in free agency, but the Rams still found a way this year to preserve and keep on winning. And if you like first-round picks in Los Angeles, don't get used to them. The last one they made was Jared Goff in 2016. They're not currently scheduled to make another until 2024. Laura, who needs first-round picks when instead you can have Super Bowl trophies?
It is shocking, though, just to put it in that kind of context. Thanks to Field for that. All these Rams fans are like, all right, so we'll wait to tune in for the draft. Anyway, it's coming up in April, by the way, right here on ESPN. Mina, now two straight seasons that we've seen a team bring in a star veteran QB and then build the team around and win the Super Bowl. Is this how teams should be thinking when it comes to building their rosters going forward?
Come on, GM. Come on, GM.
Put your hat on.
Come on.
Marcus is laughing because he always senses when I'm about to be a buzzkill. Yeah.
Let me bring him down.
Okay, the human shows up. Not really, Laura. So, like, these are a couple of pretty unique situations in my mind. Right. Tom Brady becoming a free agent.
obviously never happens. Matthew Stafford, you know, there are star quarterbacks that are unhappy, but his situation is unusual in that he was unhappy on a bad football team that knew they had to rebuild and thus were willing to work with him to find a trade partner.
Right.
But, you know, I also think another narrative that's worth dispelling is the idea that the Rams won't be competitive again. Most of this football team is coming back. Yep. OBJ, obviously injured. Von Miller, free agents, going to have to figure out what to do there. I do think they're probably going to have to address wide receiver. Spent a couple second-round draft picks there and cornerback. But for the most part, unless Aaron Donald retires, major caveat, this is still an extremely good football team. I'm still likely to pick the division, to win the division next year. Hmm. In 2 or 3 years, you know, without all these draft picks, we might be having a different conversation, but they are still competitors.
You know, something I think that got lost in this season when it comes to Sean McVay is he might be a better manager than he is an X and O's guy. And we think he's a brilliant X and O's guy, but just the ability to stabilize this group with all these different pieces. I mean, this goes back to the Jared Goff trade. Imagine going, we're going to trade the kid that took us to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, who's beloved by his teammates, and we're going to get a quarterback that has never won in the NFL, guys. You got to trust me on that.
Yeah.
And then during the season, we're going to go get Odell, who people had said couldn't play, and he's a locker room cancer, so to speak. Trust me on that. We're going to go get Von Miller. Trust me on that. And get everybody to buy into the team aspect. Then when those happen, we start to lose some games. The quarterback's not playing great. The ability to stabilize that group, galvanize it, lead it, and get them to believe in the we more than me, I think might have been his greatest accomplishment, more than any play design or any perfectly timed play call, was his ability to get those guys to believe in his vision, follow it, and understand that if they did, they would do what they did this past weekend and hoist that trophy.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, D.O., but I also think Sean McVay looked at the landscape and said, I need a quarterback that can bail me out. And I think that this season, in a nutshell, for me, will be about that. Because we talked about it ad nauseum. Another thing,
bail him out or elevate him?
Either, however you want. I didn't think he had a great game.
Okay.
I thought Matthew Stafford was the difference in the Rams winning the Super Bowl, not the play calling.
Okay.
I thought his ability was the difference in that final drive. But also, to your point about management, because I do wholeheartedly agree. What about Eric Weddle?
Oh, great point.
What about Eric Weddle coming off the sofa and starting that safety for you?
Who was injured?
In the playoffs, bro. Like, and not only that, played against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
All right? So we talked about that safety position, and we all were like, what is going to happen? So his ability, not only that. And then, too, man, like, I'm not going to go a whole show, and I know we had a plan. My man, Andrew Whitworth, got him one.
Ah,
like,
awesome.
Let me just shout out my bro.
It was so cool to see.
Same recruiting class at LSU. He's been in the league 100 years. Congratulations, big fella, on getting that ring, man. You put the work in, you deserve it.
Guys, we got time for one more thing before we go on this day after the Super Bowl. How about this? Evan McPherson made it out of the locker room in time to take in the end of the halftime show. Guys, he was loving it. Look at him. He's like, yeah, this is great.
Was he even alive when some of these songs came out?
Probably not.
Certainly not for like
Snoop and Dre. Listen, like all kickers, he's wise beyond his years, maybe a bit of an old soul, if you will. Also, look at his face. He was born in 1999, I'm being told. So,
You know what I like about that, though? He really doesn't feel pressure.
Yeah, I just that, no. like, that's put him. The ball on the ground, I'm going to hammer
it. Living his best life. Favorite part of the halftime show?
Oh, my God. Where to begin? I got to go with Mary J. Blige.
She was amazing. She was so good. Dan, you were there witnessing it in person.
It was really sick. It was awesome. Favorite part was Eminem.
You were vibing. Yeah. By the way, Dan is starting to sound like Sean McVay a little bit with the rasp in the voice. A little bit. Dan's been working a little
Hollering
bit
Hollering a bit much.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow right here on NFL Live. Ryan Clark will join us then. Thanks for being with us today. The coverage continues here on NFL Live, even in the offseason.
Bye, y'all.